back here. PPG, Paints Arena in Pittsburgh. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, Josh Christopher will join us shortly. Boy, I'm still shaking my head over that. 4:27 was the time left in the 3-on-3 overtime. Pittsburgh 4, Anaheim 3. And, Dan, I'm still at a loss, so why don't we just get into the score? Because I have nothing to say.
Well, I'll say this, Steve. You know, as Trevor Zegras was skating toward the Pittsburgh net there with an opportunity to win the game, what flashed through my mind was how basically money he is in the shootout.
Yep.
We've seen him convert so many times in the shootout. He leads all NHL players with 10 shootout goals over the past two seasons. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is the perfect scenario. But instead, Zegras, maybe a little too unselfish, tried to get the puck to Fowler, and the Ducks didn't even get a shot away. And then wouldn't you know it, Sidney Crosby sends the puck ahead to his linemate Jake Guentzel, and it's Guentzel who gets the game winner from Crosby 33 seconds into overtime. And that's a game that the Ducks had within their grasp, and it just slipped away.
All right, let's get to the recap of this one. Very early on in that first period, veteran player put Pittsburgh up by a goal.
Yeah, Jason Zucker with the goal, but really it was Evgeny Malkin who made the play. He carried the puck through, around, and basically everywhere in the Anaheim zone, and then doubled all the way back to his own zone. You know, with no resistance really whatsoever able to be applied by the Ducks. And then Malkin fed ahead to Jason Zucker on left wing. Zucker went in, lost the puck momentarily, but was able to recover it and beat John Gibson with a wraparound shot. Zucker gets his 11th goal of the season. Malkin and former Duck Ricard Raquel with the assists at 4:16 of the first period. The Penguins had the early lead.
And before the period was up, Anaheim gets a power play opportunity, and one of the veterans comes through to get the team even.
Yeah, the Ducks going on the power play because Adam Henrique drew a roughing penalty on Penguins defenseman Mark Friedman. And then, wouldn't you know, it was Henrique who capitalized on the ensuing power play, being able to fight his way to the front of the net and convert a rebound from basically the goalpost. Henrique gets his 14th goal of the season from McTavish and Terry at 17:50. That tied the game 1-1.
With all that excitement, it was kind of difficult when you try and regroup in your mind everything that happened later on towards the end of the game, but it was only one goal scored in the second period.
You know, Evgeny Malkin, again, a superstar player, and he showed it tonight. This was a sequence of just absolute chaos in front of the Anaheim net. John Gibson and Simon Benoit were trying to keep the puck out of the net, nearly did. But ultimately, Malkin able to jam it in for his 15th goal. Raquel and Zucker the assist. That came at 8:46. And then, midway through the period, the Penguins had a 5-on-3 power play after penalties on Dutch winger Jakob Silfverberg and defenseman Dmitry Kulikov. The Ducks, though, with a tremendous penalty-killing effort, able to get out of that. Cam Fowler, Simon Benoit, and Adam Henrique doing most of the heavy lifting. Ultimately, Benoit drew a hooking penalty on Jake Guentzel. That got the Ducks out of the 5-on-3 situation. Just a tremendously big penalty kill there, and it enabled the Ducks to get to the third period trailing just 2-1.
And we were a little bit after the halfway point of the third before the next goal would be scored, and a guy that knows how to score from the blue line, at least this pass he's done so, he gets a goal to tie things up.
Yeah, second power play conversion of the night for the Ducks. This one coming after Simon Benoit had drawn a tripping penalty on Ricard Raquel behind the Anaheim net, and the Ducks able to capitalize basically with a 3-on-1 rush. Trevor Zegras finding John Klingberg in the right wing circle, and the quick Klingberg shot beat Casey DeSmith. For Klingberg, his 6th goal of the season. Zegras and Terry with the assist. That tied the game 2-2 at 11:16.
And then Zegras, who was a big part of everything that happened in the third period and then in the overtime session, Zegras gets a big goal to put Anaheim up by a tally.
Yeah, and this was just a tremendous play by Ryan Strom. Zegras gets the goal, but it was really Strom who made it happen. He took a feed from Zegras low on the left wing, and with time and space, he walked in on goaltender Casey DeSmith, took all of DeSmith's attention, and then slipped a return feed to Zegras, who was able to beat DeSmith from the slot. Zegras, his 14th goal of the season from Strome at 15:40. That gave the Ducks a 3-2 lead, and you thought it might be enough.
Yep, and time was winding down. You just kept your fingers crossed, but came back. The Pittsburgh team's a good hockey club, playing at home especially, and they got the tying goal late.
Yeah, with nearly 2 minutes left, Coach Mike Sullivan of the Penguins pulled goaltender Casey DeSmith for the extra attacker. He had to go back in to the game briefly because there was a neutral zone faceoff, but then he got to the bench again, creating that 6-on-5 manpower advantage for the Penguins. And another sequence of pressure in the Anaheim zone culminated with Brian Rust scoring his 10th goal of the season from the bottom of the left wing circle. Jake Gensel and Sidney Crosby with the assist. That goal, with just 24.8 seconds left in regulation, sent us to overtime.
Yep, and a lot happened during the overtime. This is going to be our play of the game. It's brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. And a lot happens, so listen closely as the game is going to be decided here with some exciting play in that OT session. And here's a break for Zegras. By himself, moving in, he centered it out of the reach of Fowler. Instead of shooting, here's Pittsburgh, 2-on-1 break. Gensel in front, shoots, he scores! Gensel wins the game for Pittsburgh after the Ducks had a marvelous chance to win it. 4:27 left in OT, so 33 seconds in. Pittsburgh wins the hockey game in OT, the final 4-3. So that's the way it ended right there with our play of the game. So due to the fact that we'll be hustling down to catch the bus on our way to Philadelphia, I thought we might bring in Josh right now for a comment, and then, of course, he'll take a commercial break and begin Duck Call. So From Steve and Dan, we welcome Josh into the broadcast situation here. Josh, can you believe how this one ended?
No, you know what, I can, because how often does it happen when you have a glorious chance, you misfire as we did, and they come right back at you? That's what 3-on-3 is all about. It's too bad because Trevor Zegras had a really good night. I mean, this play he made with Ryan Strome that Ryan Strome generated, and then, of course, he gets Klingberg going for that. It was basically a 3-on-1 when Klingberg scored. I feel for Trevor Zegras. I talk about it all the time. The milliseconds you think you have, you're going to have to mature because you don't have him in the NHL. But that said, he had a really good night. I also, by the way, liked the line shift with Max Comtois. I thought Max looked pretty good. We got a point. This club needs a point. When we're winning most of our games, maybe I'll be disappointed with a point. But look, we gave up a late goal, but we were right there. And I thought that throughout the night, whether we were outshot or not, I thought mentally the Ducks stayed with it.
Yeah, Josh, I do agree with all of that. And as far as Trevor Zegras goes, we've talked a number of times about learning opportunities. And I think the next time Trevor Zegras has that chance, he's going to shoot the puck. And I think that would have been the better play. Having said that, with Trevor Zegras' vision and his smarts, he usually does the right thing. And he definitely had a good night tonight, but I'm sure he would like to have that one back, because I think the better percentage play would have been to put the puck on net. Even if Casey DeSmith makes the save, Cam Fowler then potentially has an opportunity on the rebound. So you live and you learn. But when you look at this game compared to the last three the Ducks played, where they really were not competitive, tonight was an entirely different story. And I can live with this. Yes, a point slipped away, and that is disappointing. But when you look at the big picture and what the Ducks are trying to accomplish here, They played well tonight, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, they may not be as good as they've been in past seasons, but they've still got Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, and that's a tough task for any team to come in here and play well, and the Ducks did that tonight. So I think they have a lot to be proud of. One bookkeeping note, the tying goal by Brian Rust in the final minute of the third period, originally the second assist had been credited to Sidney Crosby. Evidently, there has been a scoring change on that goal, and instead of Crosby, the second assist goes to Ricard Raquel. So a three-point night for Ricard Raquel against his former team. Good night for Ricky, although he took a big tripping penalty against Simon Benoit that led to John Klingberg's tying goal midway through the third period. But ultimately, Raquel winds up on the winning side, and the Ducks, despite a solid effort, they fall 4-3 okay. in OT.
Okay, we got a bus to catch downstairs. Josh, who's your guest on Duck Calls in just a few minutes?
All right, tonight we're going to have Jonathan Davis from SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. But first, I want to hear from you at 714-940-2888.
All right, good luck with that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow from Philadelphia. 7 o'clock start there locally in Philadelphia, 6:30 airtime if you're listening to us on the East Coast. But if you're not, California time, it's a 3:30 start Pacific time, and it will be 4 o'clock for our play-by-play. For Dan and the entire crew here, thanks for listening. Anaheim Ducks Hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network been brought to you by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stop-at-nothing. Penguins win in overtime. Stay tuned for Josh Brewster and Duck Calls, and we'll be back at it tomorrow night from Philadelphia, PA. Good night. You've been listening to Anaheim Ducks Hockey on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's classic hit station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John. The Master, Prince. And so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's classic hit station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888, 714-940-2888 tonight in overtime. Penguins 4, Ducks 3. Well, we got the point, and I get the point. This was a point. I don't know the last time I felt good about getting just a single point, but considering how the last three games had gone, I will take this point because I think that the Ducks stayed mentally strong in this game, and it was a different approach than what I've seen the last three nights. Real tough to give up that late goal. Don't get me wrong. It's we should have been able to salt this one away. There's no question. We should have gotten 2 points. But considering how things have gone, I'm okay with a point. The maturation process for Trevor Zegras continues. He had a real good game tonight. There's no question about it. He and Ryan Strom collaborating on that goal, that 3-2 goal to put us ahead at 15:40 of the third. I thought that would salt it away. This is still the Penguins, and of course, Sidney Crosby's involved in the OT goal. No surprise there. But Ryan Strom, good stuff with Zegras tonight. And I enjoyed watching Max Comtois elevated to that line. Bring a little heft to that line. Max needs something to get him going. We know he can do more. So give me your thoughts. 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888 here on Duckstream. Let me know what you think. The good, the bad, the ugly. I wish the Ducks could have generated a little more ugly. You know, that goal was the one. Yeah, it was the Malkin goal. Three rebounds on the play, total chaos. Make a tape of that, show it to the Ducks, tell them collapse at that net, just swing away at it, keep swinging away at it. If you can possibly get that much penetration into the offensive zone, you see how it went for Pittsburgh to collapse around that net, take three swipes at it, total chaos, and Evgeny Malkin really worked for that goal tonight. That would be what I'd like to see more of out of the Ducks. What I'd also like to see more of out of the Ducks was, boy, that play. Zegras gives it to Strom. Strom goes. He's patient with that puck. He slides it under Ricard Raquel, our old buddy, and then he sends it to Zegras, who snipes it home. So Zegras has a really nice night, and then you know it's sticking in his craw to, you know, be in the 3-on-3. He makes one too many passes. And by the way, the Ducks in general make one too many passes. But Zegras makes one too many passes. I think as he matures, he's going to bear down. And as Dan said, and as I always say, it's put it on the goalie and get a rebound if you have to. You're more likely to score on a rebound than you are on a pass, and you can look this up. And listen, obviously passing is part of the game. Don't get me wrong, but rebounds are real gold. So maybe Cam Fowler could have gotten one there, but it happens all the time in 3-on-3, doesn't it? You make a big play and you just miss, and it comes all the way back on you. So the Pittsburgh Penguins salted away after tying it late. But again, Trevor had a good night tonight, and it was good to see. And I get this point. We need this point. We could use a point. We need a break. We need a point. This is what we need around here. So it's something to hang your hat on. We're going to go into Philly tomorrow. As you know, Philly dropped us 4-1 at Honda Center during our homestand, so we got to pay them back. Well, you know, it's just one of those nights. I look around, and I know that Simon Benoit was a minus two. Was he minus two tonight? Yeah, he was a minus two for what that's worth. I got to say, I think his game is really evolving. He's a guy who I always see hitting, and he's always trying to put body-on-body contact. That's what we need. We need some big defensemen playing a big defenseman's game. Now, from the ugly department, by the way, the Adam Henrique goal was certainly of the ugly variety. There's a couple of rebounds there. I really like that. That's in the first period, making it 1-1. Want to see much more of that. It's an indication that the Ducks are collapsing around the opposition's net. One other issue I have with the Ducks tonight, a few too many one and outs. You know, you get in there, you work to penetrate the zone, you're getting a shot, and it's coming back out. That's something the Ducks have to work on. One thing that really improved tonight, and it's a pretty good barometer, I keep coming back to it, the Ducks blocked 23 shots tonight. I don't have my paperwork in front of me, but I think the other night when we lost to the Devils. I think we blocked 9. You can look it up. But tonight, again, getting back to Simon Benoit, 5 blocks for him, 5 blocks for Earl Vaakanainen. And so, you know, this is what I like to see. I mean, we surrendered too many shots. It's 46 shots against tonight. And there was a stretch. What did I have a note on? Was it 33 to 13, the shots in the final two periods, not counting overtime. Overtime was 1 shot apiece, and theirs went in. But the second and third periods, 33 to 13 shots. And the interesting thing there is we weren't really chasing the game. We were right there. But, you know, Pittsburgh knows how to generate a lot of shots quickly and how to get them off quickly. And, you know, I know they've got Malkin and Crosby. This is a big part of this. But I think that this is a club, Pittsburgh, that struggles with depth. And I think that, you know, the Ducks had an opportunity tonight. They were able to get the point. But make no mistake about it, Pittsburgh is not happy with the bottom 6 of its lineup. There's no question. Plus, they're missing Chris Letang and Jeff Petrie is another defenseman I have liked for many years. I feel for John Gibson that Jake Guentzel's shot went in overtime. I really do, because I thought Gibby played a real good game. You know, he's got point blank save on Jeff Carter. He's got a number of saves throughout the night. And by the way, the post was our friend Malkin, and Carter hit posts. But, you know, Gibby was big during that from our perspective, 3-on-5 penalty kill. He was big during that. Fortunately, they took a penalty, and it chopped a little time off that 3-on-5. But I thought that mentally the Ducks were dialed in tonight. And so I'll take this point. I thought that they responded well to adversity. Unfortunately, they again gave up the first goal. This has got to change. I made the point before the game tonight that, you know, we talk about inexperience a lot on this club, and it'll come up again. But you're now, you know, you're 44 games into this season now. So if you're here in the lineup with inexperienced players, they've got to know what it takes to start on time in this league now, right? They've got to know what it takes to have a pretty good idea of what it takes, the kind of sacrifice it takes to win in this league. So, again, I was happy to see 23 blocked shots tonight by the Ducks. The next thing I'd like to see is more shots, getting these shots off more quickly. If Pittsburgh was able to generate 46 tonight, there's no reason the Ducks can't improve on that. Too many one and outs, sometimes too many passed up shots, not just Zegras, but too many passed up shots and not enough rebounds. I don't know if we have the skill to generate the kind of rebounds and chaos that some of the better teams are able to do. But we've got to work on penetrating that zone, getting more guys down into the low slot, and hammering away at it. So we'll see if the Ducks can continue to improve in that regard. I liked this game that they played tonight. Ryan Strome, I thought he did a good job winning battles. And as I mentioned, he did a really good job on that go-ahead goal by Zegras, 3-2. Too bad we couldn't salt it away. The first half of the second period, I thought our offensive zone time was quite good. There's a lot to like here in tonight's game. They faced a formidable opponent. Pittsburgh's not at the top of the conference, but they're certainly right in the mix of who's going to go to the playoffs. They've had some lapses. You know, that Pittsburgh had a midpoint to this season. They had a stretch of games where they were 15-3-2, but before that, 0-6-1, and coming into tonight's action, 2-6-2 in their last 10. They're now 3-6-2 in their last 11. So it's been a little up and down for Pittsburgh. But I thought the Ducks took pretty good advantage tonight, considering all that they faced, and considering they gave up that first goal. Penalty kill, good job tonight. That's great to see. The penalty kill continues to improve. Penalty kill killed all 4 Pittsburgh opportunities. It was kind of a weird night in special teams. We were 2-for-4 on the power play, which was great. That is absolutely great to see on the Klingberg goal and on the Henrique goal. But we only had 3 minutes and 54 seconds of man advantage. And Pittsburgh was 0-for-4, but they only had 4 minutes and 40 seconds of man advantage. So that was a little, you know, a little strange, something you don't see that often, but we had some penalties interrupt some other penalties. But, you know, it's interesting. I look at that figure, that number, excuse me, it was 32 to 13 shots in the second and third in favor of Pittsburgh. I said 33 and 13. But 33 shots in the second and third for Pittsburgh compared to 9 and 4 for the Ducks for 13 shots. You would think we were just getting blown out of the barn, and we weren't. We had the go-ahead goal. So what I would wish for the Ducks going forward here is, you know, more uglier, greasier, closer to the net, swinging away at it, second chances, and you know, we'll be all right against Philly tomorrow if we can do that. They like to block a lot of shots. They're an aggressive club. Let's pay them back for the game where they pasted us 4-1 at Honda Center during our homestand. All right, I'm going to take a break here on Duck Calls, and when I come back, we're going to have my old buddy Jonathan Davis from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. I will be right back on Duck Calls after this.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
That's the sound of Desiree getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be getting presents for all five of her sister's kids, and we paid for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you too with great deals on select certified pre-owned Hondas, like 0.99% APR financing. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, expires 1/3/23. Length of contract limited.
When the Ducks want fresh, healthy food fast, they go to Fresh and Lean. Fresh and Lean makes organically sourced meals prepped by top-notch chefs, ready in under 3 minutes. Plus, you don't have to shop, chop, or cook anything. Their meals are delivered fresh, never frozen, so all you have to do is heat and eat. Fresh and Lean has delivered over 25 million meals nationwide, but they're locally based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order and free shipping. Fresh and Lean. It's better when it's real.
Thank you so much.
That's the sound of Wendy getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be providing her groceries during the holidays. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And during Happy Honda Days, we can help you too with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot or Ridgeline. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services. Length of contract limited. Expires 1/3/23.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. Introducing the new Spring Breakaway Ticket Pack. Get ready for spring with a snazzy Ducks-themed sand-free beach towel and discounted tickets to 4 home games. Plus, if you purchase by the end of the month, you'll get a free bonus game. To purchase, visit AnaheimDucks.com/spring. AnaheimDucks.com/spring. All right, my guest tonight is an old friend of this show. He's not an old guy, he's just an old friend of the show, Mr. Jonathan Davis. You hear him on SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. What's up, John?
I'm happy you clarified that, Josh.
Yeah, the old clarified.
Yeah.
No, he's not old, not old at all.
Pardon?
If you insist, John, you can be the old guy if you'd like.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'll leave that to you. No.
All right. I'm doing a good job at it. So, John, tonight, look, there's an ending of the game we don't like because, you know, we have a chance.
Yeah.
We have one too many passes. It comes back. You know how 3-on-3 goes. You miss, they come back on you, et cetera. We give up a late goal. But I've got to say, it's very a rare occasion when I'm happy that the Ducks got a point. Things had really gone south the last three games. I'm happy they got out of there with a point. It's not what I wanted to see. I wish they could have salted it away after Zegras scored. But I think this club needs every building block of confidence that they can get.
Look, I would absolutely agree with that. You know, and yes, a point is good. I think that, you know, I think if you're Anaheim, though, you know, considering the way things had gone the last three games, what 19 goals they've given up in the last three, and you know, it looked like they had another comeback. I think, Josh, what is it? Half of their wins, they've come from behind in? Did I see that correctly?
I believe you are correct, sir. I'd have to look it up. I don't have it right in front of my face, but that sounds
about right. So it's unfortunate because they did battle really hard tonight, and I think that if you're Dallas Eakins, you know, that's the one thing you've got to harp to these guys is that, you know, they do continue to battle, you know, especially considering the way things have gone this season. So that says a lot about the guys in the room. It says a lot about the coaching staff that this team will continue to play hard.
Yeah, and by the way, now that you asked, yes, the Ducks co-lead the NHL with 3 third-period multi-goal comeback wins this season, which ties the New York Islanders. But so they did come back tonight. Zegras had a good game, and it's just unfortunate that we couldn't salt it away. You know, it's funny. John Klingberg has taken a bit of heat, John, because he hasn't. I don't think he's been as spectacular as fans would have liked. However, he did get his 6th goal tonight, and it was a game tying goal. And he has come on in the scoring department of late. He has a 3 game winners thus far this season. So who knows? Maybe in the second half of the season, he'll be serving up a little more of what we had expected.
Yeah, and look, I think, you know, for John Klingberg, it will only help his case. And, I mean, look, he right now is auditioning for a trade. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. So, you know, the better he plays, the better deal that Pat Verbeek and the Anaheim Ducks can make. And, you know, I think that, you know, teams will, I would hope, would look at the body of work for John Klingberg and not, you know, this just what's gone on this year. You know, and I think really the tough part for any team at the trade deadline, you know, it's you're looking for players that have that playoff experience. You don't want guys that have been around a losing environment. And thankfully for Klingberg, you know, this is just 1 year, but he has played better of late. And hopefully he can continue this, as you said, here in the second half between now and the trade deadline.
John, since a couple months since you were on the show earlier this season, and in that time, Mason McTavish he had an assist tonight. He didn't get a goal tonight, but he had an assist. And of late, he has really come on, and I think that he has an opportunity here to start being mentioned alongside players like Matty Beniers and the Carolina goaltender, Kachekov, I think that's how I pronounce his name, Logan Thompson.
Yeah, did a good job.
Did I do a good job? So I think he starts to enter that conversation, and who knows, maybe he's a dark horse for Calder consideration if he can pick up the points and kind of go head-to-head with Matty Beniers. Well, why don't you tell me what you think of that and tell me what you think of this young man's development, and I do mean young.
Yeah, look, the Ducks have a winner here. I mean, I think that everything you see from Mason McTavish on the ice, this is a guy that, you know, that you can, I think, ultimately, when this team is able to compete, this is a guy, I think, that can drag you through, you know, those tough playoff games. I really like what I see with Mason McTavish, and he deserves to be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. I don't know, you know, is he one of the 3 finalists? We'll see. A lot of runway left. Definitely, you know, finds himself, I would think, in the top 4, top 5 at most. But, hey, look, that's a really good conversation to be a part of, and a really good draft pick by Anaheim. So, you know, when you look at the building blocks of this team, you know, with McTavish and Zegras and Terry, there is definitely and Jamie Drysdale on the back end. You know, there's a lot to be excited about in Anaheim. And then, you know, the other guy Josh, I think that, Lucas Dosso would be an NHL goalie if he didn't have to keep going through waivers. The Ducks have themselves a really good option if the time would come that they would decide they would want to move John Gibson.
Well, I don't think there's any question that you have a player in Lucas Dosso who really is banging on the door. And I don't know how this will all shake out. You know what I mean? I'm going to guess that something's going to have to give. And it's either, you know, it's either Stolarz, who's a UFA, or you trade Gibson. Now, that's a lot of contract to move. It's also a player who I think is happy in Orange County. Unless he has a modified no trade. So that colors things a little differently. But, yeah, I think Lukas Dostal will be in Anaheim, whether he's backing up John Gibson or otherwise. next year.
No question. And you're right. So there's a lot to be excited about, you know, with this organization. And I think that, you know, yes, the fans' patience is being tested, but I think if you look at what Pat Verbeek is doing with this team, you know, you've got to get really bad to get really good. And I think that, you know, Anaheim is obviously going through a really tough time right now, but you know, patience, I think, will pay off for Anaheim, you know, a couple of years down the road. I think they've got some really good building blocks here.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you look on defense. John Klingberg, of course, is on a one-year deal. Kevin Shattenkirk is at the end of his deal. Dmitry Kulikov, the same. And Nathan Beaulieu, who's been out of the lineup, the same. So there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot of movement here. There's been a lot of defensive draft picks who we're itching to see. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, the callers, you can sense the frustration, John, but it's interesting. I argue, and I think it really is true, that I look at a pedigree in the GM, and I do believe that Pat Verbeek is going to take a measured approach to everything, whether it's who's going to coach, if Akins continues to coach, who gets traded, et cetera. What happens, how quickly do we work the draft picks in, the prospects in. I think when you look at the lineage between Verbeek going back to Iserman, and then from Iserman, I look back at Ken Holland, and then you can even look at Jimmy Devolano beyond that. But I really do believe that there is a certain mindset behind that lineage, and I think that Verbeek, whatever he does, is going to be very, very calculated. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think you also throw Julian Breesbaugh in there in Tampa, who, you know, who worked with Iserman. I mean, I think that definitely, you know, I think that there is, you know, a great deal of experience and knowledge, I think, has been gained by Pat Verbeek. And, you know, you're seeing the way that they're operating the team this year. And so I think there is a lot to be excited for. I think what Anaheim be really good, you know, if they could find themselves a guy in his mid-20s, you know, that can really help take some of the load off of the kids. I think that's really what, you know, they could use some scoring help, because, you know, it's a lot of heavy lifting that, you know, guys like McTavish, Zegras, and Terry have to do on a night-in and night-out basis. And I think that that's really, you know, it'd be great if Anaheim, you know, if Pat Verbeek can find that type of scoring player to work into the lineup to really help help these guys through this transition.
I'd have to agree with that, and I think that that's what he was looking for in Ryan Strome, who's been good, and Frank Vetrano, who I love Frank Vetrano's mentality, that shoot-first mentality, but unfortunately the production hasn't come, and he has slumped. But I think he was looking for that out of those two, at least just for the immediate future.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I think, you know, and, you know, these are guys that are good, you know, should be like your, you know, your middle six guy, your third, I think more better slotted in a third line role. You know, we'll see, but it's patience. It's patience. And, you know, I just kind of like, I like to watch, you know, how this team plays, and, you know, Anaheim, you know, isn't going to go on the ice many nights and be the better team. But as long as the guys continue to compete, I think, you know, any coach will accept a result that they don't like. But as long as their guys are continuing to play hard, we see the same thing in Vancouver. I mean, you know, guys are competing. It's a different talent level, but I'm just saying guys continue to compete, and that's what I see with Anaheim. I don't see quit when I watch this team play, and that's very encouraging.
Let's talk for a moment about our opponent tonight. Ricard Raquel, our old friend here, had three assists for the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. John, you know, it's interesting. Goodness knows they have a bunch of injuries, including, you know, Chris Letang and Jeff Petrie. And by the way, we miss Jamie Drysdale here. I'll just add that as a public service announcement. We miss him terribly. But just talking about the reason I thought of Drysdale is because I said the name Chris Letang, and I keep thinking that's maybe who, you know, the kind of guy Drysdale could become. But let's talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins here. They have, to me, John, I think they have a legitimate concern with how top-heavy they are. They're not getting, you know, between, you know, Kasperi Kapanen and some other guys down the lineup. I don't think that they're real happy with their bottom six, and I'm not so sure that that's not their Achilles heel, John.
Yeah, I would agree. And look, Brian Rust, up until about 30 seconds what left in the game tonight, had been in a big slump for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And yeah, look, when you're missing two guys in Letang and Petrie that can move the puck up as well as they do, it really sets you back in all facets of your game. And you know, and then the other part is, look, they're also missing, you know, they're missing Kristen Jarry, and so there's a lot of issues there. Yeah, look, this Pittsburgh team is going to only be as good as Malkin and Crosby, you know, and Raquel and Carter, pretty much, well, and Gensel. I mean, they are. They're very top-heavy, Josh, and that's the way they've built this roster. And they, you know, you try to find pieces that can complement. But the Penguins made a commitment to keep the band together for a little bit longer, and they're going to have to try to find ways to be creative to add depth. You know, they've got to try to find creative ways like the Tampa Bay Lightning continue to do. So I'm interested to see what Ron Hextall and Brian Burke do with the deadline. I just, you know, when you look to me, when you're looking through the East, though, you know, I think the Pittsburgh Penguins, look, they're a playoff contender, but they're by no means a cup contender.
John, let's shift gears to some NHL comings and goings. And today I think there's a game that is a pretty good touchstone. You do a great segment. I hear it all the time on Sirius. I think it's the View from the West. And I think that's what they call it, right? And
View from the Pacific.
View from the Pacific. I'm sorry, View from the Pacific. Well, let's take a view of the Pacific. Let's take a view. Let's look at Seattle. Today they lost 4-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning. It snaps an 8-game win streak, 7-game road. Well, they had a 7-game winning streak on the road. It was quite significant. Mm-hmm. And Martin Jones is the number one star of the week. So talk to me about the Seattle Kraken here. I love that they added Burakovsky, and I love that they added Bjorkstrand, and Beniers is coming on. What do you see up there in Seattle? Because I think they're 13 games above NHL 500. They really are threatening Vegas and the Kings, et cetera, in the Pacific.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think maybe the best thing that happened to Seattle was that 9-8 game in Los Angeles. They've really played a lot better hockey since then. I mean, you know, you look at that road trip, Josh, and, you know, going into that Chicago game, you know, they had only given up, they'd given up two goals or less in five of the first seven games of their win streak. And they had scored four or more, I think, in all but one of those games. And look, they shut out the Boston Bruins. They're four lines deep. You know, that's the one thing that Sheldon Keefe said after Seattle knocked off Toronto. They just keep coming at you. They're a fast team. They've got depth scoring everywhere. So look, Martin Jones has been a lot better. He went through a bit of a rut, you know, probably about 6 to 8 weeks ago, and has played a lot better. And even Philip Grubauer, who had a really rough season last year, it's been a big turnaround for him. There, I had a chance when Anaheim played Seattle a couple, you know, not long ago at Honda Center. I was talking to John Forslund, the broadcaster for the Kraken, and he said one of the biggest changes for Seattle, he thinks, this year, and that's really helped them, is that they got hurt by COVID last year, and everybody did, but this is a team that was in their first year, and guys really never had a chance to get to know each other. And so now with everything changed and not having the restrictions that they do, these guys have been able to unite together and really get to know one another and really become a team. And I think that that's been a really big asset for them. With what happened today, like, I'm not surprised. You know, Josh, we've been around the league long enough. You go away for, you know, you have a 7-game road trip, you and especially one where you sweep and you come back home, you've only got a day off, and, you know, you're getting to see your family again. Like, to me, it was no surprise they lost to Tampa, but they played really hard, and it was really, you know, essentially it was a 2-1 game, and Tampa scored two empty net goals. So even with the loss today, I mean, I thought Seattle played really well. But, you know, it's a tough spot for them after a long road trip. But they look really good, and I would not be surprised if Ron Francis adds some depth or, you know, make some sort of deal at the deadline maybe to add some more center depth.
Yeah, indeed. And by the way, Duck fans, take heart. Things move quickly and can change quickly in a salary cap league and you see how quickly the Kraken have been able to emerge. Now, let's talk about their opponent today because, you know, Eric Stevens and I were talking the other night on the show, and he made a good point. He said, I'm sure John Cooper really likes the fact everybody's so focused on the Boston Bruins right now in the Atlantic. Nobody's really even paying attention to the Lightning. Well, the Lightning, look, you know, Kucherov was the third star of the week. They win 4-1 today in Seattle. They end that streak. They're 15 above NHL 500, and no one's really talking about the Lightning. But when I tune in, it's still Stamkos and Kucherov and Point and all these guys who know how to play a nice, tight five-man unit game and pass, shoot, and they bear down, and they're always dangerous. Give me your take on the Lightning, because I think they're hiding in the weeds, John.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, they continue to, you know, they continue to find ways to win, and they put up goals. Josh, they've scored at least four goals in all but three of their wins this year. So the offense is there for them. Look, Andre Vasilevsky has been Vasilevsky. I think, you know, we're continuing to see Mikhail Sergachev. I think, you know, one day we'll have a shot at winning a Norris Trophy. You know, what a great deal that was with Montreal. And
oh,
meeting,
yeah, Drouin.
You know, Jonathan
for Drouin.
Drouin,
right? Jonathan,
I mean, what
Drouin.
A deal.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, they look, they're a professional. They're just a professional team. They understand, you know, what it takes. They're going to have their off nights. I mean, they've had some clunkers this year, no question about it. But, you know, they understand the process. I mean, you know, they've talked about it. The goal is not to finish first. The goal is to make the playoffs. And, you know, they'll figure it out. They don't beat themselves. And that's really the thing. They're as smart a team as any in the NHL. And it is remarkable to see what they're able to do. And as you said, you know, I think in some ways going into today's game, against Seattle, I think one of the best things for Tampa was to see the fact that Seattle beat Boston. And I think if you're Tampa, you know, it's not that you weren't taking Seattle seriously, but I think maybe you maybe have paid a little more attention and maybe dug in a little deeper for this game because, you know, I think that you want to show these guys that, hey, you're good. We're still one of the elite teams in the league. I thought what happened in Boston was something that benefited Tampa going into this game.
John, let's talk about the Central Division for a moment here. Winnipeg has come on. They got some guys back off the injured list, the Nick Ehlers, for example, a few of them. And here they come. And, you know, I'm always I still think Connor Hellebuyck is a contender for goaltending honors this year. But here they are, and Dallas has been very formidable. But Winnipeg has surged of late.
Yeah, they sure have, and Rick Bonus has really changed things in Winnipeg this year. And, you know, what we're seeing again from, you know, like Scheifele and Wheeler and Connors and Ehler, but, you know, they've got a guy in Josh Morrissey who, you know, who could end up being, you know, he's a Norris Trophy candidate. There's no question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I've heard people refer to Rick Bonus as the defense whisperer. He's the guy that, you know, many Victor Hedman credits for a lot of his success. Really worked well with Hedman, really got him to understand the game. And he seems to be having that same success with Josh Morrissey here in Winnipeg. So, Winnipeg arguably, I think they're giving Toronto a run for the best team in Canada. I really like what I see. And Rick Bonus has just changed the mindset there, no question.
So, John, before I let you go here, because I'm up against it here, let's talk real quickly about the wild card situation. Calgary and Edmonton at the moment sitting there at 51 points, just a few behind the LA Kings, maybe a game or two in hand for each of those clubs. But now Edmonton is going to get Evander Kane back in the lineup real soon after a pretty horrifying injury. And I'm wondering if you think Edmonton is going to surge as the season draws up.
Well, I think Edmonton needs to find themselves a defenseman. I mean, that is still, you know, their Achilles heel. I mean, Evander Kane will help lengthen that lineup again up front. But, you know, and we're seeing some better play from Jack Campbell of late. You know, so I still think, though, that, you know, Ken Holland's got to find himself a way to get to improve that back end. And whether it's a guy like Gavrikov out of Colorado, or I mean out of Columbus, or Joel Edmondson out of Montreal, you know, they pay Darnell Nurse as a number one defenseman. But Josh, I don't know what your thought is. He may be Edmondson's number one defenseman, but I don't think Darnell Nurse is the number one in this league. They need help on the back end. And so I think, you know, Edmonton, you know, Connor and Leon can do so only do so much, so I just think they've got to find a way to shore up the blue line, and still not sold on the goaltending. Even, you know, Stuart Skinner has played really well. Jack Campbell's played better, but yeah, they need to find a way to keep pucks out of the net, and I think they really need to find some help in the blue line.
All right, folks, there he is, Jonathan Davis. You can hear him on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio on a regular basis, and it is always a pleasure to have John on Duck Calls, and he has been a good friend of this show since day one. John, thank you so much for joining me on Duck Calls tonight.
Always a pleasure. Hopefully we'll run into each other at down in Anaheim, Josh. Take care.
Guarantee you we
will.
All right, John, take care. Very good. Okay, folks, let me wrap up tonight. If you want to hop in my last few minutes here, 714-940-2888. Again, it's 4-3 Penguins over the Ducks tonight. A very rare occasion when I'm happy to get a point, especially since we could have walked out with a victory. I usually don't like the they call it the loser point. I don't usually like it. I'm okay with it. We need it. Need every bit of confidence building block that we can get here. John Klingberg, again, his sixth goal of the season. And he's got some game winners, so he's coming on here. Trevor Zegras, good night. Sorry it went awry in the overtime for you, but darn good night for Trevor Zegras, and he had a goal and an assist. Adam Henrique, really, really nice greasy goal, working hard with Mason McTavish and Troy Terry in the front of the net. And Troy Terry, no goals of late, but he had two assists tonight, so it's 4-3 Penguins over the Ducks in OT. And let me hit you off with some NHL scores from today's action. I think it was the most MLK games that they've had on an MLK day? But let me give you an update here. In the third period, it's Predators 2, Flames 1, that's in Nashville. Blues 2, Senators 1, that's in the third, and that's in St. Louis. Earlier today, the Panthers go into Buffalo, and they smack the Sabres around 4-1. Brandon Montour, Sam Bennett, Asa Lundell, and Carter Verhaeghe. Verhaeghe scores his 20th goal for the Florida Panthers, who are looking for some answers. Bruins 6, Flyers nothing. This is in Boston. No surprise. David Pastrnak, two goals. He's up to 35. And just a tremendous, tremendous season he's having in a contract year. Pavel Zacha is up to 7 goals. He had 2 of them tonight for Boston. Avalanche 6, Red Wings 3. This is in Colorado. Nathan MacKinnon up to 12 goals now. Cale Makar had 2 goals. He's up to 13. Devils 4, Sharks 3. That's in a shootout, and it's in San Jose. Devils have had a real good trip. Didn't they beat? I think they beat all the California clubs. All right. In fact, I know they did. As we mentioned earlier, Lightning 4, Kraken 1. The Stars 4, the Golden Knights nothing. This is in Vegas. Stars shut out the Golden Knights. And, boy, Mark Stone, this is a guy who really stirs the drink in Vegas. I mean, it's one thing when you lose Jack Eichel to injury. He's back now. But, boy, they've got to be hoping. Mark Stone, that's a guy who really puts Vegas in the winner's column quite often. Just his 200-foot game and the way he plays. New York Rangers 3 in Columbus 1. For the New York Rangers, Mika Zibanejad, his 20th goal of the season. Capitals go to Long Island. Well, I shouldn't say Long Island. They went to Queens. Capitals 4, Islanders 3 in overtime. It's Dmitry Orlov. And look who's on the score sheet for the Washington Capitals. None other than Tom Wilson, who recently returned to the lineup. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Less than 24 hours from now, I'm going to be talking to you again. We're going to play the Flyers tomorrow night. Another great guest tomorrow night. Mr. Keith Jones will be here. Thanks so much to Jonathan Davis. Let's go get them tomorrow night, Ducks. Let's get 2 points instead of 1. Everybody have a good night.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action,
drive, score!
Breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think Mark is overreacting to this.
Music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between, TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
Sometimes you just need an uplifting song to brighten your day. And that's where TuneIn's curated Mix Light Station comes in. Every day, we're playing a mood-boosting selection of today's best adult contemporary tracks from your favorite artists like Adele, Maroon 5, Coldplay, and more. Also, you can soundtrack your day with good vibes only. Check out TuneIn now.
For Zegras in, shoot, score!
Are you big on sports? What are we talking about? You're a Ducks fan. Of course you are. So keep yourself in the game on all the sports coverage you love with TuneIn's exclusive Believe 24/7 station, bringing you nonstop Believe podcast content in one handy around-the-clock radio station so you can stream hot takes and game-changing moments curated just for you. While you're waiting for the next Ducks stream game, listen now right here on TuneIn.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Get ready to go orange for Orangewood on February 17th as the Ducks take on the LA Kings at Honda Center. Join the